Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We are your hosts, Jake, Gino, and Teresa. This is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Joining us today is Tim Austin, the man who, alongside Pamela Yellen, co-founded the well-known Bank on Yourself concept. He's also the founder of Set 4 Advisors, a leading training organization for financial advisors who want to help their clients grow wealth predictably and without the risk or volatility. So without further ado, Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on.
As Chick-fil-A says, it is our pleasure. Now, Tim, before we get in your background, I want to understand and hear from you. Why is personal responsibility such a large component of your catalyzing statement?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably growing up in the environment that I grew up in, it just, it was really just something that was taught very early in my life from my parents and my grandparents. And, you know, grandparents that went through the Great Depression, where you hear those stories of, you know, I found a dime on the street, so thank goodness we could have a can of soup that day. You know, growing up with that kind of mindset and having a very strong set of parents that always made personal responsibility and financial responsibility a major focus of growing up. You know, I say I started working when I was six, you know, but there wasn't
slacker,
yeah, you know, I just really, really slacking there. But, you know, the pride and joy when I was 12, when I had the two paper routes, the bottle route and cutting grass, you know, so it's just part of my makeup, part of who I am and quite honestly, who my siblings are. I'd say that's probably the best answer of why it's so important.
So it sounds like you had a strong family foundation. Today we're talking about, and this is for the folks out there, if you're listening via the podcast, there's a phenomenal prezo that's going on YouTube. So if you want to check that out when you get home after the car ride, please check it out. But today we're talking about the mindset of a strong financial foundation. It sounds like in your case, that started with a strong family foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
If I may chime in for just a second, I want to make sure that our techies out there appreciate the value of what they're going to get from this presentation today. Not only is it about mindset, but Tim's got some practical, real-world numbers of how he took that mindset and created an amazing amount of wealth using this mindset.
Wonderful. Well, Tim, let's turn it over to you and let's get this baby kicked off.
Yeah, well, appreciate it. So, you know, as you kicked it off, the mindset is the most important thing. If we live in a mindset of, you know, oh my goodness, the market's down 40%. How I'm such a victim. You know, well, guess what? The market goes down 40%. You know, and investments that say, you know, you have the potential for loss, they do lose at some point in time. So it's really having the financial mindset of what is it that you are going to do and what can you control as it relates to the money that you earn and how can you grow that into wealth? And when I say wealth is whatever your vision of wealth is. Wealth isn't being a billionaire. Wealth is living a life that you envision for yourself and for your family. So maybe I started off with, you know, just talking about, you know, some of the people in the past that I've just really liked their quotes. And I keep them near to my computer screens. I got them posted. My kids can tell you these quotes. But this is my favorite one that I, you know, very young, I was still a teenager and I learned this one, and it's compounding interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. Albert Einstein, kind of a smart guy. Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. I love that one. I love having money serve me to my wealth vision. Money often costs too much. The favorite sayings of bankers, right? They're willing to lend you money when you don't need it, but when you need it, you know, it's going to cost you a whole lot, or you're not going to get it at all. You know, so just looking at you know, how money works in your life, I would encourage you to just kind of sit back and think about, you know, maybe some of these quotes. How has money controlled you in the past? And how might you be able to change that in the future to where maybe you can control money to serve you better?
Tim, I had a question about 12, 15 years ago that really changed my life. And I was reading one of the Rich Dad books, and he basically said, are you working hard for your money, or is your money working hard for you? And at that time, I had two streams of revenue. And I am saying to myself, the responsibility junkie, I can only blame myself for only two streams of revenue. And when I met my boy Stenziano there, I had three, and now we're upwards of 40 plus streams of revenue. And that question changed my life, because I got mad at myself. And I said to myself, how can I create additional streams of revenue? And utilizing the dual asset strategy is one of those ways. We're going to be discussing that strategy and that case study in this presentation. But for me, eye-opening. I challenge everyone listening to it. Are you working hard for your money? And that's okay, because we need to work hard for our money. Tim's out there, a young kid, and I got you beat. I had a paper out at 11, and I went to work with my dad at 7. So we're about the same point. Cutting grass, I'm 7 years old. I got a lawnmower upside down with the blade. I would never let my kids do that today, but I was doing it. But listen, everybody, I challenge everyone. Think about that. Are you working hard for your money? Which you should, but is your money also working hard for you? That's a very important
question. You know, I got you beat. I was selling and retrading pumpkins at 4. I'm just saying.
Dude,
just saying, you know that story.
So. Child labor laws, man. What's going on here?
See, at 4, my dad was still selling and retrading me. So I didn't become an independent person until I was 6 or 7. So, no, that's great stuff. But, you know, I'd have to look for it. But it was an old Harvard study, literally back in the 70s. ELF, easy, lucrative, and fun. Is your business easy? Well, it should be. But it doesn't mean easy, you know, based on this study, does not mean that you come in and you're not working. It means that you love what you're doing. It means that you could work 12 hours that day. And at the end of the day, you're basically saying, wow, what happened to the day, man? That was a great day. That's easy when you're doing that. And like you say, you know, having those multiple streams of income and constantly looking at that. So one of the things that Nelson Nash, these are his four rules to live by. First, you got to think long term, at least 70 years. I'm meeting with some of my son, he's 24, with his friends that graduated college. They're making money now. Hell, I'm telling them 120 years, not 70 years. I mean, I want you guys thinking until
they're going to be cyborgs by then, Tim. You're absolutely right.
They will be. They will be.
Well, that's where we got the 100-year mindset and the 100-year real estate investor. It is about thinking long term. We just pegged 100 years because it's a little catchier, right? But you got to think long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Teresa, you have heard me talk about the fact that I've cut a deal. I'm going to die at 121 years old. It's already set. I got the deal cut. You know, so 121. Well, I'll be 57 here very shortly. And man, I sure got a long way to go. So I better start thinking. The actions that I do today have to drive the lifestyle that I want to have all the way out to 121. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just a mindset, and it makes you think a little bit differently about money and how you're going to use that tool. Money is a tool. That's all it is.
Amen.
You know, right. So how are you going to use it? Don't be afraid to capitalize. What does that mean? Well, don't go buy the boat and the convertible, you know, Jaguar before it's time. Mm-hmm. You got to capitalize. You got to, when you open a business, you got to pay your dues, right? You don't generally, you don't go and start your business and 30 days later, you got a $5 million business. I'm not saying that hasn't happened, but again, you need to be able to capitalize. You need to be able to get those dollars. Nelson has a story about a family grocery store. Don't steal the peas. The simple story is if you let all the family come in the back door and take a can of peas out the back door without paying for it, well, you're going to have to sell 9 cans of peas out the front door just to make up for that one can that you allowed to go out the back door.
It erodes culture, too, because everybody sees that happening. So they think, well, if the wife can do it, then I can do it. And all the food's free. You can't. That I love that story. And it's so, so true. You have to treat it like a business because it is. And everyone operates the same way.
Yeah, I mean, my kids know to charge me a lot of interest if I'm asking them to go get my Culver's ice cream. You know what I'm saying? You know, it charged me double. So, and then, of course, eliminate, I'm going to call it bad debt. You know, there is such thing, I believe, as good debt. But eliminating banks from your life in bad situations. And there's a lot of things that people have come to accept as reasonable debt. And I'll even go as far as say car loans, right? I mean, oh, we always have a car note. We're always going to have a car loan. You don't have to. You can take control of the way in which you pay for things into the future and recapture that interest that banks are generally taking in from all of the things that you do in life. So those are really the four things that my good friend Nelson Nash talks about. Those are things that I've trained my children and my clients on. And this allows us to build long-term financial solutions that can withstand pretty much any environment that the world wants to throw at us, right?
Yep. Tim, do you mind if I just piggyback off of that first one, think long-term? Jake and I are in the multifamily space. We own upwards of 1,500 units. Had so many amazing guests on our show. Sam Freshman, he's in his 80s. Two biggest mistakes that he made was not buying enough and selling too soon. Holding for the long term. That is Jake and Gino's core mission, is to buy these assets and to hold them for the long term. We had the pleasure of podcasting a gentleman named Dr. Linneman, economist, Wharton School of Business. He's 70 years old. He talks about looking at assets in decades, not in years. You have to look at an asset in a decade. So let's continue that long-term mindset. Every time we discuss and talk about it with an entrepreneur, they're always talking in decades and in 20 and 30 years. So everyone needs to shift that mindset of looking at, oh, what's going on this quarter or next quarter. It's great to plan, but plan for decades. And the other thing that you talked that really struck a chord with me was our decisions aren't only affecting us. They're affecting our children and our grandchildren. So every time you're doing a deal, that deal is going to affect generations. Every time Jake and I, we're closing a deal today, that deal we're closing today is going to affect my children and my grandchildren. So thinking long-term and really thinking about what your values are. Everyone, think about what your values are. We need to create values. We discussed values-based decision-making in the 100-year real estate investor. And if you don't start from a place of values and knowing what you want the end of your life to look like, how are you going to make those decisions today? So I just wanted to reiterate that 100-year mindset is really, truly important.
Oh, Gino, that's, well said for sure. You know, if you're living for today, it's a tough way to live. Mm-hmm. It really is. You're really opening yourself up for a lot of heartache and a lot of pain if you're just simply focusing on today. So one of the things that I just kind of want to walk through is, you know, how have I been able to, what is one thing that I've used to take advantage of opportunities as they come up, a way to control my financial environment? And part of that, the foundation of that starts with a financial instrument that has these characteristics. Gino, you talked about values. Well, what are the values or characteristics that you want to have in the financial instruments that you're going to use and for the different situations that you're using them for? So for me, having a foundation of a financial instrument that has liquidity, where I can get to my money, I can get to it quickly, doesn't have penalties or costs or restrictions to it. It has guarantees on my principal, has guarantees of growth, has tax-free accumulation to it, has a tax-favored distribution to it. I don't know about you guys. I love living in America, no question about it. You know, I think that we have one of the greatest countries for sure. But do I really want to pay, you know, the absolute maximum tax that our government says that we need to pay? Or do I want to use the products, features, and things that the government says, well, here's our tax system, but if you're a good citizen and you use this, we'll allow you to have a tax break. Well, why wouldn't you take that break? Why wouldn't you use your ability? And I'm talking about a product that the wealthy have used for, you know, a couple hundred years here, but anybody can use this. Absolutely anybody. So no contribution limits, flexibility, income tax free to heirs upon death, avoid probate, and a multiple of the actual account value being paid to heirs upon death. So again, a lot of people don't think about death. They don't think about, oh, gee, how are my assets going to be distributed upon my death? And then, of course, there's the worst statement of, oh, well, that's not my problem. I'm dead. It just really burns me because I have seen firsthand many people that are stuck and left with that disaster upon death. So take responsibility. Look at the financial instruments that you can use to maximize your opportunities to pay what, instead of paying it to the IRS, instead of paying it to banks, pay it back to yourself, leverage those dollars, and make them work for you.
Tim, everyone listening to this podcast, that is not coming out of their mind. They're not even thinking about it. I don't care when I die. We're all here to learn. Everyone in the Jake and Gino community, the 100-year real estate investor, we all have that mindset. And we did a webinar on estate planning, how important it is. So if you haven't watched that or listened to that recording, go on the channel, listen to the podcast we did with Lynn Sugis. It was an amazing podcast on estate planning. Deep dive into it, but that's one of the benefits that Tim's talking about right now with the estate planning, because we're here now, but those decisions we make for our heirs, we've worked so hard. Why give that away? Why not be able to control and personally financially engineer your plan?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I love the fact that when I'm gone at 121, as I've stated, that my kids know exactly what to do, exactly where things are at, exactly how to manage that estate. Same thing for my wife, of course. But, you know, take pride in that. Take pride in where you're going in the future and generations. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of move on a little bit. So, all right, I have that instrument. I have money housed in that financial instrument. So what can be done if I have access to cash in a safe tax-favored environment? Well, just simply because I could, I'm sure you guys are familiar with this thing, I think it was called a real estate crash in 2005 to 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I live in Michigan. I often say that we have the privilege of saying we started this thing called this financial real estate crisis in Michigan. But when this hit, I have a brother that's in the real estate business, and he basically works in the foreclosure space, goes to sheriff sales every Friday, picks up 2-4 homes every single week, and he's been doing that for 20 some odd years. Well, during this period of time, there was a whole lot of houses that were getting foreclosed on and a whole lot of banks that were not lending money. So a lot of his resources dried up. So he had to go to investors that were willing to pay cash, and he was willing to come in and be able to get these homes. So we were able to pick up many homes throughout this period at very discounted prices. But the only way that we could do that is if we had money to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one whole life policy that I had. I have 18 total today, but this is just one that we leverage for this particular cause to pick up homes in this depressed situation. So we had a cash value in the policy of $291,000. We have a death benefit of $691,000, and we had premiums paid of $229,000. Now, a lot of people think that, you know, that's about a 4% rate of return based on how the premium's going in over a period of time. That's not, and that's tax favored. And I don't know about you guys, I am in the highest tax brackets that there are out there. So, you know, that 4% is really more like six, you know, closer to 7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not bad, right? I mean, you know, it's safe money. It's tax-free growth, accumulation, tax-free coming out if you do it right. Upon death, my family's got $691,000, you know, tax-free, income tax-free. Not a bad deal there. And that's certainly, if you stop there, well, okay, you got something good, but I don't stop there. I make my money work for me. Those real estate purchases and ultimately value generated $1.14 million in net equity to me. Now, I mentioned, and Jake, I think I was telling you earlier, I am strategically lazy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? It means that I'm allergic to tools. I don't like working with renters. I don't like finding houses, but I do like having money that can work for me. Mm-hmm. So this money worked for me. My brother ended up with $1,140,000 also. So that $291,000 generated over $2.2 million in wealth from my brother and I. But if we just stick with me, that's not the end of the story.
Because you're charging your brother interest too on that money, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did.
We missed that component here. I knew that was coming.
Thank you. So the original policy, we borrowed out at 10% interest. I loaned the company from the policy at 10% interest. The company had to pay all that money back at 10% interest. Mm. But it also, I forced a buy-sell agreement on this business that we opened up. I love my sister-in-law. I don't know about you guys if you have sister-in-laws, but man, I don't want to be in business with her. You know, my brother loves her. I love her, but I'm good there, you know?
Well, you can say to her, you're going to swing the hammer because I'm the strategically lazy one. Sure. If you're picking that hammer up, you can go. You can be my partner. If not, you're out of here. So everyone, what Tim is doing is the dual asset strategy here right now. He's got a policy and he's borrowing out at 10, and at 10 for his brother, that's still a great deal because it's access to capital, 10%. They're paying it back. When they pay the loan back, they've got the business asset and they've got the policy, the dual asset strategy. And now we have the triple layer here. Now he's got another policy. So this is the try.
Well, no, he's got strategy. The interest too. Don't forget the interest to the business for the note.
Dude, I'm excited. This is like a trifecta over here, plus the interest for the note. So this is an amazing, creative way that, Tim, we all have this opportunity to do that, but most people don't know it's out there, right?
Yeah, everybody's got this opportunity. What a lot of people don't know on these whole life policies, that a lot of people, they think of this like, oh, it takes 10 years to break even. It takes 20 years to break even. It doesn't ever return to it. You can overfund these policies these days and have access to money relatively quick to do these type of strategies. But this buy sell policy is the absolute kicker to me. And I own this policy. This cash value is mine. I set it up. The death benefit is there for the buy sell. So if in fact my brother should pass away, I get bought out of this business. My sister-in-law owns the business outright. She owns all the properties. It's kind of, you know, her daughter actually would come in and run the business. So that's all worked out, but I'm out of it. If my brother's not there, I want out. Well, I'm going to get out because I have a buy sell agreement, but that cash, let's say my brother lives to 120. Well, I have all that cash that's building in there. But if it was today, if I just cash this whole thing out today, I'd be walking away with $1.659 million from that original 229. And if there was a death on my brother's part, that death benefit would buy me out of the 1.14. So I'd be out of the real estate business and I would have an income tax-free death benefit on the policy coming into the corporation. And then, of course, you get that step up in basis coming out. So now I'm paying capital gain. So that 2.29, you know, I'm at a 1.8 leverage on those dollars. And that's just in a very, a few years, 05 to 2011. Now these are my numbers as of today. All right. So, but the homes that were purchased were the homes that were purchased and flipped during 05 to 2011.
Mm-hmm. So it's important, everybody, what Tim is doing here, thinking long-term. He's waiting for the opportunity. And guess what? Are we at a bubble, Jake? I don't know. We may be, we may not be, but get your capital in order, because when the banks pull back and all of a sudden your HELOC is gone, or you think you're going to pull your money and your lines of credit are gone, guess what? You're controlling it with that cash value. And there's one other thing. We've done a training on the 100YearREI.com site for Keyman and for buy-sell agreements. We're not going to get into the buy-sell agreement, but it's an amazing strategy. You don't only need to get policies on yourself. You can get policies on loved ones. I've gotten policies on my children. Tim, same thing with you. I had a sister-in-law. She's phenomenal, but I don't want to be in the kitchen washing dishes at the time and her up front dancing around having a glass of wine. I don't want that kind of partner. So I wanted to create that buy-sell agreement, and I had a buy-sell. The only mistake that I made is I didn't make it whole life. I made it term. When we sold the business, I went bye-bye. So I didn't have that 100-year mindset. I didn't meet Teresa. I didn't know Rick Sapio years and years ago. If I had, my life would have been extremely different than it is now, even more abundance in my life. But that's what the idea is here, everybody, to create that abundance and to really get educated. And you can personally, financially engineer your life. And this is an amazing case study of what $229,000 in premiums has created. It's not what you're starting with. It's the opportunities that come in your life that you're able to fund. Because if that money's in a 401k, everybody, guess what? You're not have access to it. That liquidity component is gone. So what you think you have, you don't really have. And if you don't have the ability to pull the trigger when you need it, when the market does crash, well, then you're out of luck.
Yeah, Gino, we could spend a whole day just on that 401k conversation of what people have thought they could do. And, and they realize they really can't do it. Anything close to what I just showed you here. But maybe if I could just leave you with a couple thoughts, just going back to the mindset. By the way, you talked about, are we going into possibly another bubble? My brother has not been able to buy a foreclosure house in over 18 months. He has not had a sheriff.
They don't let people foreclose on him right now.
Exactly. So I have a feeling he might be getting back to work here pretty soon. And guess what? I have all that money. All that money's back in there just waiting to do it all over again, right?
Chomping at the bit. You know, it's like guys, here's the thing. Future cyborg self will thank you if you do the right things now. That's what it all comes down to. You got to reward future cyborg self. That's the moral of the story today.
Tim, I love it. I'll just leave you with an idea on this whole pension idea was about, hey, we'll take care of you. Social Security, don't worry about it. The government's going to take care of you. If you can have a mindset of where security is to be found in the world, the answer lies in the minds and the hands of the individuals, each of whom can enjoy as much security as he is willing to earn and is free to save. Apologize for the he, she, but this book was written in 1951. I don't believe it's in print anymore, but I do love the concept and the mindset of the statement. And then just, you know, a little bit of what I live by and what I work with my children on and we talk about all the time is personal responsibility is the key to happiness and self-freedom. You know, don't get yourself caught up in a situation that you're turning your idea of wealth, which is your vision of wealth, over to somebody else. Don't be relying on somebody else to get you where your vision of wealth is.
Be the personal responsibility junkie. Tim, this is great. Teresa, Gino, thank you so much for your time today. Gino, you're going to give something away. You're always giving away books and stuff on here. You got
nothing to give away. Just give me the idea of where to go. What's the website again, Jake? Give me the, hit me with the website.
So it's numbers 100year.com. 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 The best asset we own. The cleanest website ever. Teresa, that's it. Great job there, guys.
I want to add just one thing, if I may. Yes. Tim Austin really is the unsung hero behind this whole movement that Nelson Nash started, and he partnered with Pamela Yellen, and people know Nelson Nash. People know Pamela Yellen. People haven't necessarily heard of Tim Austin. Tim Austin likes to...
They know him now. They know him now.
And thanks to Tim Austin, you know, we met and started working together almost 20 years ago. Tim, and this is something Nelson said so beautifully, and I absolutely love it. Nelson, beat the drum in terms of these concepts and living these concepts. Tim has done the exact same thing. It isn't just talk. He lives it. He teaches it not only to his children, but to professionals like myself that have dedicated their lives to working with these concepts and to elevate people's experience with their finances. So Tim, I'd like to take a moment and just thank you for being consistent, being congruent, being the man that you are. You have impacted so many people that have never even heard of you. And thanks to today, maybe more will have heard it from you. So just want to-
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jake and Gino, I really appreciate you having me on.
This is a lot of fun. 100year.com. And Tim, I'm going to continue to embody those things that you talk about, the responsibility. And I'm going to continue to teach that to our kids. And that one big takeaway, everybody, it's all about being 100% responsibility junkie. Jake, take it home, my friend.
Hey, that's it, guys. Appreciate you being here, Tim and Teresa. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.